Hello and welcome to the Gaffer Tapes Fantasy Football Podcast with myself, Craig, Ash.
Hello, everybody.
No Tom.
Boo!
No Tom this week. It was obviously you and Tom last time. I wasn't there. Now it's me and you. It's like the Fox Chicken and Grain Saga. But he's on his honeymoon. Congratulations, Tom. But we're still here with former top 100 ranked fantasy football player, Ash.
I'm retired now.
I'm former 100 FHM top sexiest woman reader, I guess. And
that's an accolade.
Yeah, and Tom's probably in one of the top 100 honeymoon destinations.
You've got to say he's at least in the top 100 comics of Windsor.
He is. He is one of the funniest men in Windsor.
I'd like to think he's at least the funniest, top 10 in history.
He's one of the funniest men in Windsor, that's true, in Windsor history.
Yeah.
Except for the royal family, any of those. Except for Prince Philip.
Yeah.
He's the funniest man in Windsor. But yeah, so, you know, where have we been? I've been away, I'm back. Eventually, all three of us will be in the same place, I promise you, for your fantasy football needs. But loads to discuss since the last pod in terms of football.
It has been kicking off big time.
It has. The league's all shaken up. We'll talk about our league in a minute, in the Gaffer Tapes League, and where we stand and where you stand, the listeners. But the biggest undoubted news, fantasy football-wise, which rocked the fantasy football world, was when everyone was saying to each other, oh, City game, oh, someone's injured, who is it? Oh, who cares? It looks like it's going to be a boring game. Wait, it's Sergio Aguero, shit! What do we do? The system crashes as everyone tries to get onto the website.
Yeah. Was it 2 minutes in?
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. As well, it's so good as well, because I know there's loads of people like me. The whole Costa, are you going to swap them out? Didn't. Injury, now everyone's got to, basically.
Yeah.
5 weeks out.
And it came in the same week when a lot of other players picked up injuries or suspensions. Fabregas hit his yellow card limit. I had Charlie Austin, who obviously got sent off. So you've got to start taking some point hits now, because Aguero, we don't know how long he's out. In instances like this, it's kind of, you know, speculated 4 or 5 weeks, what's wrong. But if you hold on to them too long, you run the risk of just wasting. That's 12.5 million. Just in your bank, not gaining interest, isn't it?
So yeah.
If you're going to get rid, ship them out, do it now.
I think so. Well, it's a difficult one because either it's going to be brave to keep him on your bench for 5 weeks.
Exactly.
It's so expensive. But also, if you had him from the first week, although he started the season injured, didn't he? So I don't know how many people would have had him necessarily from the start. He's gone up a million in value.
Yeah.
So if you ditch him, I guess you're banking that you'd get half a million because you only get half the money back. You're banking that half a million, but then when you're going to want to go back, you've got, unless everybody ditches him, you've got to stump up a half a million to get
it
back.
It's difficult. It's like your parents giving you money and saying, I'll give you more if you can hold on to it for 4 weeks without spending it when you're a kid. Like, you're going to spend that money.
Yeah.
And so getting Aguero back into your side is going to be hard, right?
Yeah, really hard. I don't know. I just don't know if you can get that. If it's the half a million extra.
Yeah.
If you keep him, is he going to go? Basically, the equation must be, is in 5 weeks' time, Aguero going to cost more or less than 12.5 million to buy new.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There's probably a formula for that.
Oh, yeah. Probably.
We don't know it.
Because people drop about, you know, like a point, point one a week, something like that, don't they?
Right.
Like if they're going down in price. Maybe it's not too much more or less than that, is it? So 5 weeks, half a million, if everybody consistently keeps dropping him.
Yeah.
Because people aren't going to necessarily drop him straight away because not everyone notices.
The whole way through GCSE maths, I told my teacher, if you made it interesting about something I didn't like, then I'd understand it. I was fucking lying. Mr. Leach, I apologise. I still don't understand it. It makes no sense to me whatsoever. All I know is I've transferred Aguero out. I've also had to transfer Charlie Austin out, even though, you know, I would keep him, but I thought for the maths of working it all out. Fabregas I've transferred out, so I've gone all out. I had to get rid of three players.
Did you save your bonus transfer from last week?
No, I've had to take a minus eight hit.
Yeah.
But then I think if you're putting in a striker, you know, it's only one goal. It's only one. If they play 90 minutes, you get some of that back. So
yeah,
I've gone for it. And, you know, I don't mind saying I think it'd be a popular choice. I already had Bonny, who's been great in the last few weeks. And I brought in Lukaku for this week. He's going to play and hopefully get some goals.
Yeah, he's got a difficult one, though, because Europe, all the teams that have been playing in Europe in the that Thursday night, even when they play on Sunday, none of them really look good, do they? Like, Tottenham are really inconsistent, Everton are better than they were, but it's none of them are like come off the Thursday game in the middle of God knows where and are like, yes, let's go.
Yeah, well, I mean, Everton played a kind of a young team that got beaten last night, didn't they? But It's true. When you're, you know, Liverpool benefited last season. Not being in Europe is a massive, massive advantage in the league.
Yeah.
And do you think that's what we're starting to see from Man United now as they start to get a couple of results?
Yeah, it could be. They're still a funny one, aren't they? I can't work out how they're so high in the league.
Yeah, I know, because they now look like, hang on, these guys look favourite to finish fourth. But yeah. Where's that come from? Because it's not in their performances.
No, and it doesn't seem to matter what garbage they have in defence. They just seem to put out four totally random people every week. Like, some sort of like, oh, you know, Ashley Young is playing left back.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And then it's like, oh, we won 2-1. It didn't make any difference.
Yeah, but they've gone into games where they had Valencia and Young playing at kind of fullback positions, and then, you know, the young lad Blackett and McNair playing, and they're coming out with results. That's you know, if you're a Sergio Aguero, they haven't come up against him as that four, but yeah. You're laughing.
Yeah, well, you think when they played Arsenal the other week,
yeah.
They were shooing to get, maybe they would go blow for blow with them and it'd end up being like 4-3. But you wouldn't expect Arsenal to struggle against them.
Well, and United, you know, they were lucky against Southampton.
Yeah.
To be honest. Mm. But do you think now with Rooney might be one of the most popular ones getting transferred in now?
Yeah. He's a weird one as well because a lot of people, I think, for some reason, don't pick him. Like, who was it? James was on it, wasn't he? And I was going like, oh, I would never pick him. Because he's not the most popular guy for an England captain. It's not like he's Shearer.
Well, he's pretty divisive. But the second highest England scorer of all time.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's not...
Third.
He's nowhere near as popular as like Shearer or Lineker.
Yeah.
I don't think if you... It's different with both of them because they didn't really pay for big teams necessarily, as you'd say. But, you know, a lot of people really dislike him. And he's one of the few players that I think sort of transcends into fantasy football as the hatred... Yeah. And he's quite inconsistent. So I haven't got him, and I don't normally pick him.
He's picked. I checked. He's under 15% picked.
Yeah,
I think Rooney. And bearing in mind, he's actually playing quite well. Maybe not for goals, but assists. He's starting to contribute.
Yeah, I reckon if you took somebody else, say like Totti, if he was English,
yeah,
I think people would and played for Man United and was the England captain, he'd be all over it. I know someone. One of my friends is a Milan supporter. And he was, like, talking the other day, oh, yeah, like, Totti's brilliant, isn't he? Like, he's old, but what a play. He's fantastic. Like, when you see him, the style, he's so good. Scores so many goals. You just don't, you know, like, Rooney's so... If you're a Man United fan, you might like him.
Yeah.
Even a lot of them don't.
Yeah, he's very divisive, yeah.
Yeah, and then I don't know what it is about his game. I think he's good. I know Alan Hansen, always, when he was on Match of the Day, would always stick up for him and always say, no, you've got to play him, he's amazing.
Yeah, well, the strikers do as well. You know, Shearer, Lineker, they all stick up for Rooney as well, I think, because they see how good he is. Maybe we've just got a bit accustomed to it. I don't know, because he is still an exceptional player. When you hear all the continental players, like Xavi had an interview the other day and he was raving about Rooney. And, you know, maybe we just don't see it. But the fact he's picked by under 15% of players, fantasy football players, unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then you've got his strike partner up there, Van Persie, who's the most overpriced guy in fantasy football, isn't he?
Definitely.
Because, I mean, the Svensson game, he scored some points, but no one's going to benefit from that because he's an outrageous price still at 12. I think it's over 12 million now.
Yeah. I mean, he's been in it before. He's been, like, in previous years, he's been up to 14 and a half.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's so, when he's on, he's so hot.
Yeah.
I mean, sexually, obviously.
So he is sexually hot.
Sexually hot. But, I mean, he gets a lot, you know, he'll score point after point after point. But when he goes off the boil, like, if he gets an injury, like, it is just dead.
Yeah.
As I like to say.
He's dead.
Yeah, he's dead. He's dead to me, that's it.
So who do you think is the biggest to replace Aguero? Is it going to be most people going back to Costa? Going back to the old girlfriend?
To be honest, I think it is going to be. Because there's not a lot of people with both of them. That's one thing.
No.
There are some people.
Yeah.
But it's not like every team you look at has got the two of them yet.
Yeah.
Maybe in when you get to the Christmas transfer window, January transfer window.
Yeah.
Then people might be able to rearrange the whole squad and get the both of them in.
Yeah.
But for the time being, I think it is just people just going to flip between them, isn't it?
Yeah. Which is where, obviously, some people might have to go a bit off the beaten track to try and catch these people up.
Yeah.
By not going for Costa.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're still so 40, 50% picked.
Yeah, although I think a lot of people, that's Steve Clift, you know, on...
football writer Steve Clift, the fantasy football player, yeah.
Yeah. I think he was saying a while ago that since the fifth week...
Yeah.
He scored, I don't know, I can't remember exactly what he tweeted, but basically he's not scored a lot of points.
It was great. I remember the tweet. He tweeted us saying that since week five he had been outscored, and I think it was listed a couple of players that have outscored Costa, and it was people you wouldn't have thought. The likes of Wilfred Bonny has outscored Costa in the last 6 or 7 weeks, I think, quite considerably.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah. I think it's still with the Chelsea, they still have that core. They've still got three, Hazard, Fabregas, and Costa, still grinding out the points. It's like whether you're going to spend the money on them or not.
Yeah, well, I've got Hazard and Fabregas in there now, and I've just had to take Fabregas out for suspension. But I don't think it's... Normally, I wouldn't try and clog up a midfield with two players, because one tends to take the free scoring role, the other whatever. But with Chelsea, they're all worth having, all of them. You have them all if you could. But, I mean, we have to talk about it, really, because obviously the other big news was Chelsea finally lost.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We don't have to talk about the Invincibles anymore, which was so boring.
Oh,
so boring to read about.
It's just madness. I was probably talking about it only before. I am on my drive to work. I listen to, for my sins, I listen to TalkSport.
Yeah.
I haven't done for years. And just picked it up again, like, you know, 20 minutes in the car. It's all right. And they, literally, every day, they've been talking about the Invincibles, how are they or aren't they going to last the season? It was never going to happen.
Yeah, but even if it did, who cares? You don't get extra medals for that. No, it was amazing that Arsenal did it, and it was incredible that it happened. And obviously, if Chelsea had done that, we'd have all taken our hats off and said, well done, fair play, that's fantastic. But in all of it, they've forgotten. They're only 3 points above City.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, Paddy Power have paid out. Paddy Power paid out people who bet on Chelsea a few weeks ago when they had their lead, which they must be bricking it now.
They must... they must have known that there's a good chance. Because it's somebody did it years ago. Somebody paid out that season where... Who was it? Was it Man United that were top and got caught by Arsenal or vice versa?
Yeah.
Remember about 15 years ago, maybe not that long?
I know what you mean. I'm sure it was one of United's huge comebacks.
And they paid out, didn't they, just before it happened? But I mean, they were like 16 points clear or something. Mm. This, they were what, like 9 points clear at the time or something?
Yeah.
Not even that.
And we were in, you know, November. They paid out in November.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Considering the whole thing about Chelsea is, it's Costa, basically.
Yeah.
I suppose they've strengthened the spine because they've got Matic and Fabregas and Costa.
Yeah.
Who are all, you know, doing so well for them. But when you go back to then, they've got Remy and Drogba, who are scoring at the moment.
Yeah, well, Drogba's on, I think, 35 to 40 points, costing 6 million. And you know he can get goals, but you never know if he's going to play 2 minutes or 20.
Yeah, exactly. It's too much of a risk. But I just keep thinking, if Costa gets injured, and he's super injury prone, he's like injury prone ratings 18.
Yeah, in Football Manager.
Yeah, Football Manager terms. Then how do they go? If he gets 6 months out, and it's not even that unlikely, it's not... He could easily get a 3 month thigh injury.
Yeah.
And he's permanently on yellow status anyway.
Yeah.
Then what happens to them? I don't know if they...
And then Mr. Torres gets on a plane from Milan.
Oh, did you see today? Yeah, they were saying that he's apparently at Christmas, January, he's going to be offered around to Premier League clubs on a free.
Yeah, because Milan don't even want him anymore. He's, in the words of Right Said Fred, he's too sexy for Milan.
Yeah.
So he is now leaving, apparently. But yeah, no, because obviously instantly the press have turned it into, would Liverpool take Torres for free? And it's one of those, I think.
Well, it depends how free. I think you'd probably consider it if it was free.
How free is free?
Yeah, like no wages
free. Yeah, like how free are we talking?
Yeah.
He's going to have to pay no fees and a very, very low wage. Because the one thing you will get out of Torres is he'll work hard. He works hard up top, but I can't see him anywhere but the MLS. I just think he'll go run away to America.
He's the thing with him is, and I always just say this, when he was at Chelsea and Liverpool, the fans loved him and all my mates. And I kept saying, like, he's really good. Like, he scored a shit ton of goals against West Ham.
Yeah.
And when he's on form, he was quick and he's finished as well.
Yeah.
But you can't do anything. You can't play around. It's not Costa because you can't hold up the ball or Drogba.
No.
He just loses the ball. He cannot make a pass to save his life. And it's a different, say, like, Carroll, who's not very good at linking up play. Oh, well, he's very good at that. But he's not very good at passing, necessarily. He's got an amazing shot.
Yeah.
He can head the ball really well. And he can chest it down and knock it onto people.
Yeah.
So you can use him as a target man. But Torres can't do any of those things.
No, he's almost become a defensive striker who can just hassle defenders and cause errors. And
sort of like blindly run around, like Paul Scholes style.
He's turned into Paul Dickov.
Yeah, yeah.
That's essentially what he's done.
But he hasn't got the finishing anymore. Or the pace.
Paul Dickov.
Yeah.
That is quite a plummet. I'm really sorry, Fernando. I know you've got a World Cup winner's medal, but you just haven't got the finishing of Paul Dickov.
But I mean, if you of the two, you'd probably take Dickov.
Well,
maybe not now, but I mean...
No, he'd be cheaper.
Yeah.
But I can't see him coming back to the Prem, to be honest with you. I don't... He's become a bit of a laughing stock.
Yeah. Well, like we're saying, it does depend how free is, because there are I mean, if they're going like all the way, QPR would take him, wouldn't they?
Yeah, of course. Loads of teams who could feasibly afford where, you know. Do you know what? QPR's not a ridiculous shout, because a club like that could afford his demands.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's what Redknapp's trying to do, but you're right, it could. Talking, obviously, about some of the other teams, I would say not big four teams, because West Ham are currently there, obviously.
Yeah.
But one of the picks of the last round would have been Mr. Andy Carroll knocks in a couple of goals.
Yeah, we were talking about it, how he was 0% picked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you did say he's not a bad shout. And, I was thinking actually today, West Ham have a few important players going away in January for African Cup of Nations.
Yeah.
Like, Carroll's going to be playing, as long as his body holds up, he's going to be playing a lot of minutes.
Oh, it's the same thing. Well, I suppose fantasy football-wise, if you get him in, he gets injured. It doesn't matter.
No.
Because obviously for me, as a Hammers fan,
yeah,
it's going to matter a lot.
But from a fantasy football point of view, he's going to be playing minutes. Sacco's going to be, he's off. He's
yeah.
going to be gone. Song's not going to be around. You know, and there's one more, isn't there, that I can't remember. But there's three sort of West Ham players going. So Carroll is going to play as long as his big legs will hold out. So, you know, minutes means goals for Carroll, doesn't it, surely?
Yeah, I think so. If they keep playing the same way, the football we're playing now is much better than it has been for the last few years. And it's straight away paying dividends.
I don't think you can be accused of playing anti-football so much anymore.
No, you've got
players in there who can play.
Yeah, we're not Swans alone.
No, you're not.
But it is better.
It's effective. All right.
Yeah, yeah. And I think he is a good player. And if we're scoring goals, if we're staying up there in the league, it's got to be value.
I think so. I think it's not a bad shot. Like you say, and bearing in mind he was picked at 0.0%. He hadn't even picked himself.
Yeah.
So I imagine that's, you know, risen a little bit now.
It was 1% when I looked at him last. It was
one.
Quite a big shift.
There you go. So, but still, you're going to be scoring points on your league members with that kind of thing. And it wasn't long ago that West Ham fans were booing a 1-0 win.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And, well, that brings us on nicely, actually. You saw the viral clip of talking to fans booing. Arsene Wenger's got some serious shit in the last week or two.
Yeah. At the, I guess everyone's probably seen it now.
Yeah.
At the train station after the Sunderland?
Stoke game.
Yeah,
they
Stoke.
Lost 3-2, yeah.
Yeah, like, real bad abuse from the fans.
The players should have been booing for having to get the train.
Yeah,
that's the real problem.
Yeah.
Why are you getting the train?
Yeah. Maybe it's the other way. It's too exclusive to get on a... They can't get on a coach with like common folk now.
And then they go and get, you know, this huge Champions League result and everyone... People can't make their mind up. They don't know whether they're coming or going. Is he still the same man or is he going? I don't know. Tom's not here to sort of defend Wenger's corner, but I think even Arsenal fans are losing patience, aren't they?
I think it's really split. I think it must be like 50-50. I don't know who... I think he probably should go.
Yeah.
Because I think it's too long. I think he's a good manager. And like, if he was at West Ham, it'd be cool. But because if West Ham finished fourth, that would be good. But for Arsenal, I don't see the plan. I don't see that.
Yeah.
When you look at his... I don't think he's that good in the transfer market at all. I really don't think he's almost ever been. Like, people say about him getting all these young players in. Sort of, okay, that's cool. But then he lets them go.
Yeah.
And then look at the other players. When he's finally decided, I'm going to spend big money, the players he's got in, like...
Oshavin, Ozil, neither of them kind of performed, did they?
Yeah, like, they're like very good in one-off games.
Yeah,
but you can't get them consistent.
Sanchez is the exception. He's kind of delivering.
Yeah, but I mean, that was a when you look at the players they've missed.
Yeah,
they could have got, like, I mean, imagine how good they'd be if they had Matic.
Yeah,
that seems, and there's no reason they couldn't have got him.
No, not at all.
So that would be really obvious. By that'd be amazing. And they're supposed to be scouting these players.
Yeah,
and then. Who are, all the other players that have gone in the recent years,
yeah.
like Silva, Aguero, like they were a bigger club than Man City when Man City got Aguero. So they could have been fighting for him. He would have been, imagine how good Arsenal would have been.
I'm sure Nemanja Vidic was, that was on Arsenal and Liverpool link before he went to United.
Yeah, exactly.
Another
player. So I'm only thinking of the players that I guess are more of the same of what they've got.
Yeah.
But how many defenders must there have been? If you, who's the... Defender, oh, I can't remember his name. Barcelona, because obviously they've had to buy a few defenders in the last...
Oh, Vermaelen, who's gone to Barca, you mean?
No, he went to...
Vermaelen's just warming the bench while he's
injured. Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's there now, but...
But what's his name? Mathieu, is it? They've got the big French guy.
Right, yeah.
Like, they could have got him loads, but I thought he'd be perfect for them.
Yeah. Well, I know, it's one of those, I think Arsenal fans, they're torn. They've got this debt of respect to him, but at the same time, they probably would quite... They'd like him to step away gracefully, but I don't know how that's going to happen, really.
Who, so, of the... I think there's probably three people in line,
yeah.
if they were to replace him.
Yeah, Jurgen Klopp's talked about constantly everywhere.
It's got to be Klopp, the Atletico Madrid manager.
Yeah, Diego Simeone.
Yep, and Martinez. I think are probably the big three.
Right. Yeah, you think Martinez as well?
Yeah, I mean, he's like a really good fit for them, isn't he?
Yeah.
I don't think I don't think they would give it to him because there's a weird thing where in the Premiership, apart from Brendan Rodgers, like if you're in a lower, if you're in a team that's lower than you in the Premier League, they just seems to be impossible to get promoted.
Yeah, it's a bit of an old boys club, weirdly, isn't it?
I know.
Well, and Rodgers isn't doing them any favours this season, so it's a bit of a difficult one.
Who of those three, if you had to take one at Arsenal?
Yeah, I think they will go for, I think, Simeone.
I think he'd be brilliant.
I just think because it's still an exciting prospect to him.
Yeah.
Simeone, I could see why he would do it. That's not to say, you know, he can't achieve that at Atletico Madrid, but I think he wants to come to England. Arsenal, it's a hell of a challenge. I think Simeone, I think that's a realistic one for them and would be an excellent appointment if they can convince him.
Would it be a step down?
Well, yeah, of course, technically it would be a step down because he's going to a club that doesn't challenge for their title and doesn't challenge in the Champions League, but somehow it doesn't feel like it.
To us, yeah.
But that's us. In Spain, they'll be laughing, probably going, what the fuck would he want to go? Well, it's not charity work. It's not the Make-A-Wish Foundation. He'll stay at Atletico Madrid, but I don't know. But it's the same way in Spain. Even when Real Madrid have had bad years, players went there.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, when Valencia were finishing above them, players were still jumping ship to try and get, they'll take 30 minutes on the pitch at Real rather than 90 at Sevilla or Valencia.
Right.
So it's the same kind of thing. We'll quickly run through before we... break part one, the Gaffer Tapes League, obviously, is why we're here. I'm in 35th place. We should go through ours first. I'm in 35th place there, dropping a little bit. We're starting to lose our reputation. Ash in 47th, nearly off page one, mate.
It's a disaster. Well, next week when I'm on page two.
That's it.
I know how it feels. Oh, we're going to be on the same page as Tom.
That's it, because Tom's in 95th. Tom is rising like an injured phoenix.
And he's
in 95th place. And it's, in fairness, they had a terrible week last week with 18 points. Had it not been for that, he could have been in the top 90. So I have full faith Tom will be on the first page by the end of this season. In terms of the rest of you in the league, the actual ones who are winning it, Brian Coates, still at the top. He's got a 40-point lead now over second place. That's pretty impressive and
nice.
Hard to catch. He's got 897, nearly at the 900 club. Johnny McLaren in second place. He's been there a while. The Saunders brothers... make up two of the top five. And Ciro Di Marzio, our Italian friend.
Oh, yeah.
With Notting My Mum's Forest. Nice. He's in fourth place. He's one to watch, actually. He's been creeping up. Other big movers, we've got Los Pollos Hermanos, a nice Breaking Bad reference there.
Yeah.
For any Breaking Bad nerds. And Greg McCutcheon's Soccer Beavers. They seem to be rising up towards the top 10 as well, doing very well. You'll like this. A bit of a note. There's a team called the Adulterers in 135th place. Mark Beale made 12 transfers this week without a wild card.
Do we think he accidentally did it?
No, he meant it. He meant it. He made 12 transfers. You will look at that and you can talk about it in part two. But he made 12 transfers, one free transfer and 11 real ones. Took the points penalty because he thought it might benefit.
Oh.
Which is some kamikaze man. It's a Hail Mary right there. in December.
To be fair, I might have to follow the same strategy.
The wild card's round the corner, but we'll talk about that and a bit of wild card tactics, as well as the fixtures coming up this week. A bit of Gaffer Gambler as well, and we do dissect a VIP's team. That's all coming up in part two of the Gaffer Tapes. Hello and welcome back to part two of the Gaffer Tapes comedy fantasy football podcast with Ash.
Hello.
And me, Craig. With no Tom this week, but he'll be back soon, I promise, once he starts swanning around on his honeymoon. I like the way you looked at where he normally sits.
I know, I did.
You looked as if he's, oh, he's back. It's a surprise.
I look more like lovingly, like, oh, like I knew he wasn't going to be there.
It was as if you were going to be
like the void,
out.
Like, oh.
It's Noel Edmonds' Christmas present. Yeah. He's there. Does that still exist, that programme? Noel's present, you know what I mean?
Vaguely.
He gives like sick kids Xboxes and shit.
I imagine that's an Operation U-Tree sort of type event now.
Hope they're pre-owned. Waste of money otherwise.
What?
No, it's all right. No, I don't mean pre-owned Xbox. I mean the kids.
Oh, that's right. Okay. No, it's okay.
No, but it's time for a tweet for my tweet. Tom's not here to do the jingle either.
Oh no! Do it!
Tweets for my tweet! He'll be so proud of me.
Oh, nice.
But, yeah, we've had a few tweets from you, obviously, over the past couple of weeks. We'll pick out a couple of them. Waters, one of our Australian listeners, our commuting Sydney goers.
Oh, yeah. We've got a whole team of Australian commuters.
We want them to get together. If they can make that happen, that'd be great. We just, Cilla Black will get that shit done. He said, biggest question from the Sydney bus commute, which he's hashtagged, a very ambitious hashtag.
Yeah.
Is what do we do in our breaks, in the mystery breaks that we have between podcast parts? Is it just a toilet break? Or he says, or does the missus bring milk and cookies into the basement? We're not in a basement. It's Gaffer Tate's HQ. And there's no milk and cookies.
No, but there should be. I think the guy, the rich studio baron.
Yeah.
Maybe we should get
the studio baron. Should get milk and cookies. Yeah. We should get that negotiated in. That's a great suggestion, Waters.
Yeah.
So we're going to get on to milk and cookies. And sometimes we go to the toilet, but I mean, it's a weird thing to ask.
It is.
What do you do on your breaks, Waters?
Yeah.
What do you do on your...
What does he do on his commute?
What do you on your fucking breaks, Waters?
Yeah,
we do sometimes go to the toilet, if that's okay.
Yeah, where is he fucking commuting to, is what I ask.
Why are you commuting to Sydney, Waters?
Yeah.
If that's your name. Probably isn't. Alan Whitby-Lear, who's dropping down the league, actually. I recognise that league position. He just said, I'm interested to know how everyone's going to spend their Aguero cash. I think after tonight, a few may go with RVP. Well, we discussed that one, Alan. I don't think they will. You still, RVP, you don't think so, do you?
I think people are more likely to go for Rooney of the two.
Agreed, yeah. I think so. It's a bit of a waste of money, I think, RVP.
Oh, I think, but I'm still holding on to Benteke. So you could,
well, he scored, so I mean, that's not a bad shout.
I think you could split the cash and maybe ditch, because probably people have got some of the other lower price strikers, like Austin.
Yeah.
You could probably dump the two of them and then go for...
Middle out.
Yeah, go for Carroll and Benteke.
Yeah, you could get that. Or maybe a Benteke and a Benteke and a Lukaku, or a Benteke and even Bonny.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that'd be really good.
So you could probably get the both of them.
Yeah.
Tom Howarth tweeted us. He's a Geordie fan, a new Magpies fan, judging by his badge. He absolutely loved our, loving that vision after we said that we thought on our Twitter that Newcastle might upset Chelsea. He says, I'm living in hope without much expectation. They're different class when they turn it on. He must have been talking about Newcastle, because we were only bloody right. They're in and beat them. And he did say we can predict Newcastle results as much as we want from now on. I was pretty smug about that one.
Yeah.
A tweet from an endorsement from @FootyWriter. He's got 120,000 followers. Footy Writer, he was nominated for a Football Blogging Award in FBA up against Soccer Guy USA and Sport Bible. He's an awesome Twitter account, Footy Writer, so check him out @FootyWriter. Jay Withers saying another disastrous captain choice in Di Maria. I can only hope that Harry Kane gets a hat-trick in the second half. He didn't, so
no.
I think we can agree on that. He didn't go so well. We had a tweet from Ben Solomon of Coach Trip Series 9 fame.
Benno.
Benny.
Solas.
Solas, big old Solomon. Wise old Solomon.
Yeah.
Sort of another Coach Trip goer.
Yeah.
And another fantasy football player. And
what season were you on?
I was on 10. 10. Before, yeah.
Oh, so he's old school.
He's old school. And I spent the first like week of Coach Trip when Will and I were on it, we just got constant tweets going, you're not as good as Ben, you're not as good as Ben, you're not as good as Ben.
Wow.
Yeah. And
is he a superstar?
He was pretty cool on there, to be fair. And then all that happened in the Series 11 is me and Will got a load, the new guys got a load of tweets going, you're not as good as Craig and Will, you're not as good as Craig. And it just goes on.
Oh, I see.
It's a gift that keeps giving. Yeah. We're long forgotten now. But he was defending the... before game week 15, he was defending his purchase of Stephen Taylor of Newcastle. He said he picked him up at 3.9 million, picked up 13 points in three games. There's method to his madness. And then he went and got sent off and showed what an absolute lunatic he actually is, Stephen Taylor. But yes, there's just a few of the tweets we've had from you. Also, it's worth saying, in the last couple of weeks, Tom and I had a bit of a celebrity Twitter war.
Oh, yeah.
Where we took it in turns trying to get the best celebrity endorsements for the podcast that we could. Because Tom pulled out the bag and showboating legend JJ Okocha tweeted us.
He's pretty amazing.
And Tom got. And I think it was only bettered by me getting the combination of Carlton Palmer, Pat Sharp, Bobby Davro, and Sally Gunnell.
Oh, wow.
Well, I think
that is an amazing lineup.
I mean, Gunnell.
Celebrity bench.
Gunnell the funnel tweets us. That's, and Cheryl Baker.
Wow.
Yeah.
You've got like that would be a celebrity TV cook-off.
Yeah.
Sort of caliber.
So if you can get a better celebrity than Cheryl Baker or Sally Gunnell to tweet us and endorse us, then I'll be pretty impressed, but give it a go. Obviously, we've had tubes in the past from Soccer AM as well.
Yeah. Pat Sharp's actually a big fan of the show.
Apparently, well, he tweeted, so he is.
Yeah.
I think. I don't know if the twins are.
Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about now.
The twins? The from Funhouse?
I can remember the little go-karts.
Do you know who Pat Sharp is?
I can remember the
you
mullet.
Well, hang on. You can remember the go-karts, but not the twins.
There's the thing, and then there was the big house.
Yeah, it's a fun house.
Yeah, okay. And then they won a coach trip. Now I know who you know so much about it.
That's it. And then me and Pat Sharp, Bezzy mates. I don't know what they won, actually.
Just besties.
Toys and shit.
So what are the twins?
The twins were like these cheerleaders who, looking back, it was probably quite bad. But they were twins who like cheerleaded the way through Funhouse, and that was only their job. They were like Melanie and Martina, I think.
See,
if you know the name of the twins, let us know.
Yeah, sexist.
That is it. Also tweet us. We've got big next year gaffer tapes. We're already looking ahead. We've got big plans. And I have a vision of us sponsoring a local football team. I want the gaffer tapes logo emblazoned on a team. Doesn't have to be in Windsor where gaffer tapes HQ is. But if your football team wants a sponsor on their shirts next year, tweet us.
Ah, yes.
And we will consider that application. As long as we get to choose a player of the year or go to the dinner looking smart.
Oh, that is a good idea.
And obviously we'll pay for the kits and everything to get the emblem on there, the logo.
Yeah, we'll drive down there in our gold Bentleys.
And just turn up.
Throw shirts.
And
we'll
just, and just turn up to games and make the substitutions we
want. Oh, yes.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be an under-11s team, but we'll play.
Yeah, we get management rights.
Yeah, we get all sorts of management rights, branding rights.
It helps if your team's logo looks a lot like the Paris Saint-Germain one.
That will look good, yeah.
Oh, do you think they... Maybe that's a sponsorship deal.
What, Paris Saint-Germain? Aim high. Aim high. But failing that, we'll go for the Windsor under-11s disabled girls team.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll take that. But yeah, do tweet us at the Gaffer Tapes if you've got anything to add, anything to ask. And obviously, we're recording this now, just before Game Week 16. It's Friday. So by the time this will be going out very shortly, just in time for the Game Week deadline at 11:30. Which brings us on nicely, because you were saying, Ash, Game Week deadlines next season... could be all changed.
Shock it. Yeah, I'm not sure if it's next season or the season after, but they're talking about bringing back the goddamn Friday night games.
Happy about that, then?
I try not to be negative.
Yeah.
Because, you know, let's keep it everything positive. Much better. But I didn't like it the first time at all. It made it really confusing to follow the games. It wasn't that you couldn't follow the fixtures, but... they were so spread out that people started to lose interest.
Although you tend to forget as well. I seem to remember it being like, yes, Spurs-Everton, that might be a decent game. Fucking missed it. When was that on last night?
Exactly. And I do my team Saturday morning, 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
If that's gone, then what is the point?
Yeah, the people who are, you know, all the City wankers out in pubs on a Friday night, they're in trouble.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, in the day they're too busy spending other people's money. Yeah. And then, their Saturday morning wake up to do their teams... they're fucked.
Yeah, plus I play 5-a-side on a Thursday night. I'm going to have to quit the league and be like, guys, I can't play anymore.
Wow.
I got to go and do my fantasy team.
That is, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is probably one of the least masculine things I've ever said, isn't it? But for me, they do it in Scotland. The Scottish Premiership have Friday night games. And if there's an idea that you shouldn't do it, it's the fact that they're doing it in Scotland, for me.
Yeah.
And I'm a Scottish football fan, but the only thing that could have made attendances in Scotland worse was by putting games at 8 o'clock on a Friday night.
I don't get it at all.
Who's going to those games?
Plus, I tell you, when they first started doing it, wasn't it when... What was the first channel to get the split part of the rights from? Was it ITV Sports?
It was on digital, wasn't it?
On digital. Oh, God. Think of we were talking about this the other day. The TV companies, since they've split it, there's been about 5 TV companies that have had the rights, and they've all gone bankrupt.
They have. They all went, because ITV Sport, on digital.
Satanta,
wow. Yeah, they all went bust.
And then what was the one?
All of them showed Scottish football. I don't want to say there's a link here, but every time.
BT Sport, and then what was the one that's just gone off before BT Sport?
I don't remember.
Oh, I can't remember.
Well, BT Sport are doing well, in fairness, but...
So going back to the general Friday night thing, I just don't think, you know, on a Friday night... it's not a very good night for watching football,
is it?
Because at least you've got to have... this is probably the secret to it. Is if you've got it Saturday and Sunday...
yeah.
Most people have got wives and girlfriends and stuff. At least you've got some chance. Because you can, like, get your wife in it. Like, most people, not necessarily, like, one half of the couple. Maybe the girl likes football and the boyfriend doesn't.
Yeah.
But you rarely get
good couples save, Ash. Yeah. Good save on the sexism.
You rarely get couples where they're both super enthusiastic. Like my wife likes football,
yeah,
but probably not to the extent I do.
Yeah.
At least if you've got Friday night, you can be like, "Cool, let's do something on Friday night."
So what you're saying is Friday night football's for virgins. That's basically exactly what you're saying. They're the only people who are going to watch it.
Oh, it's going to ruin like everybody's marriage. I don't know if I can take it.
Yeah, we'll compare it to divorce stats.
Yeah.
As it goes up. But is it because BT Sport are having the Friday night slot and they're buying more games? Is that what it is?
Something like that, yeah. It's like they're splitting the rights again.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Who's
more of Michael Owen?
Oh, God. Does the American football... They play on Sundays and Mondays, don't they?
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah, they play Sunday, Monday.
They don't play... Do they do Friday night games?
I don't know. I'm sure it might be NBA. But in America, they play... Like, NBA teams will play two nights on the bounce.
Wow.
So they travel. So they'll play on a Friday and then travel and play on a Saturday as well.
Jesus.
So they play two games in 2 days in America.
Wow.
But there's like 60-man squads, so they're fucking... It's mental, isn't it? But Friday night football, that will change. That will change everything for fantasy football. And more importantly, it means we wouldn't be able to do this as we are on a Friday night. Gaffer Gambler as well. It's been a while.
Yeah. I think it's because of all the money you keep making.
That's it. And I just keep making money and just making it rain everywhere. But I rather smugly called Newcastle upsetting Chelsea. And I tweeted about a bet called a draw no bet, which got a few questions, mainly from Tom, of what they are. Do you know the draw no bet?
If it's a draw, it's no bet.
Perfect. If it's a draw, you get your money back. So say you've got 5-1 on Newcastle to beat Chelsea.
Yeah.
And you're not bold enough to be like, I don't want to put a tenner on that. You might get you'll get reduced odds at draw no bets. It will go down to 2-1, but if it's a draw, you get your money back. So it's like an insurance policy.
Yeah, and I take it the odds are going to be reduced.
Yeah, the odds go down to maybe sort of 5-1 to 2-1, but it's still quite handy. But it saves you against that horrible last minute goal when actually they've been dicked.
So I often see that, and there's also the one double chance.
You can do double chance, yeah.
Now I'm properly a degenerate like you.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you're really getting into it.
But so is it ever worth going for either of those? Because the odds are so, I always think, well, what's the point?
Well, yeah, because if it's long odds, if it's a game where it's a real, long odds. For instance, Real Madrid play tonight against Almeria.
Yeah.
And away from home. But even at home, Almeria, you could probably get at 8-1 or something crazy.
Yeah.
In that game. And if you just have an inkling or you think you've read up or there's a bit of a mismatch or the odds look wrong, you might still get 3-1 or 4-1 on a draw no bet. Or 2-1 even.
So you'll
still get in, you put £10 on that, you're still going to get good money back. It's just an insurance policy in case the draw comes in.
So I thought you were going to say the other way, where you bet big on Madrid and take the draw on a bet.
So
you do it on the long...
Yeah, I do it on the longer odds. No, it wouldn't be worth it on the Madrid one unless you're betting £10,000 to make 100 or something.
Yeah,
it's not really worth it. In terms of the anytime pattern we normally do...
Yes.
...with Tom... I thought actually this week, because he's not here.
Yeah, is he not?
Oh, Tom's not here. Yeah, he's still not. He still hasn't turned up.
Jesus
he still hasn't
Christ.
Turned up. We could do that, but actually, we want the third scorer to come from someone tweeting us in. So once this goes out tonight, Friday, then
you've got an hour to tweet us in.
You tweet us in before 3 o'clock kickoffs tomorrow for the third one. Ash and I will pick the other two. And we'll tweet them for you. So we'll tweet numbers 1 and 2, and we want you to tweet in the third. The most popular one will be a part of the bet. You won't get any of the winnings.
Yeah.
But you will get massive kudos and the first Gaffer Tapes football strip from the under-11s girls team that we'll sponsor next year. But so, yeah, so keep an eye for that. We're going to tweet the tips. And the only accumulator I've got on at the moment, I think, is a Man City, Saints, Charlton, Inverness, Cali, Thistle.
Oh, there's going to be so many people on that. The number of our fans that are into Cali Thistle results is outrageous.
They're playing Partick Thistle. It's the Thistle battle.
The
Thistle whistle.
Oh, yeah.
And £5 returns 40 odd. And I'll tweet that. And I've been doing quite well on them. And I should give a quick shout out, as I promised. There's a showbiz entertainment-y type Twitter called It's Biz News. And I told her, she's a big football fan. She has a football blog as well. And I told her about the both teams to score and win bet, which gets really long odds, and she was I've never heard of that. I tweeted her, and she's won about £2,000 in the last month just betting on these. Every now and then she'll tweet me and be like, oh, I just won another 600. For fuck's sake, I'm not, tell me about these bets.
So both teams to score and both teams to win?
No, both teams
I think
to score.
The odds would be quite low,
teams, for instance, tonight Almeria playing Madrid, the odds on both teams scoring and Almeria winning was 22-1,
Wow, what?
And so when you put that in with two other games, for instance,
yeah,
it gets huge. You get big money back on a pound. You get a few hundred. If you bet on three teams, you'll probably get £200-300 back on one pound. One English pound, sir.
Oh, wait a minute. So explain this again in English.
Both teams to score.
Yeah, got that.
But one of them to win. So you pick West Ham are playing against Sunderland.
Yeah.
You'll bet on BTTS, both teams to score, plus a West Ham win, and it will lengthen odds because you're betting on both.
But that would still only be like 5-1, wouldn't it? Something like that?
Yeah, it probably would be around 5-1. But that's pretty good odds on just that. And then you double it in. If you put a 5-1 with a 4-1 with a 3-1, that's quite a long treble.
Yeah,
so it's quite good. So yeah, that's the Gaffer Gambler. I'll tweet the coupons that I'll put on. And if you want to tweet some of what you've got, sometimes people tweet us a bet slip, which is quite good, so we can see how much you've lost.
Yeah, I did think when we started this, and we could do it, is that we all put a fiver in each week, and we battle out, and we have a little competition to see who's got the most.
Yeah.
But I think after about 3 weeks, when you're on about 19 grand,
yeah,
and me and Tom are at minus £15 exactly.
That's it. Well, saying that, our any time pattern, we're all pretty useless at, so we'll give it a go this week. Talking to Tom, as he's not
T-Dog.
Here, talking to T-Whistle, I thought, when we go through someone's team, normally we go through one of the league members from Twitter.
Yeah.
But Tom had a rough week. He's not here.
Yeah.
I think we should dissect his team. Let's dissect Tom, everybody.
T-bone steak.
No, hey, let's cut into a T-bone steak. There it is. So Tom only scored 18 points this week, but he is flying at 95th. What can we do to get that man onto page one? He wants to be a headliner.
He does.
He really does.
Well, it's the obvious things. He's got to ditch Aguero.
Obviously, yeah. He might have already done that, obviously.
Oh,
but we can't see it yet.
Oh, because... Oh, wow. He's probably on his honeymoon. So whether whether he's going to know to do it. Whether he's going to be allowed
the
internet access.
When he's, you know, when he proposed, he knew the costs.
Yeah, he knew the risks going in. Now the Friday night football, that's it. It's all over.
Exactly.
But so, because the big change is, he'd rearranged his squad to get Diego Costa and Sergio Aguero in together.
And that's all gone to shit.
That's backfired slightly on him.
Oh, balls. And who's his third striker with Aguero and Costa?
Kane.
Oh, Kane.
I tell you
first.
What, he has got a nice squad, though. He's got Fabianski, Klein, Bartley, Bertrand.
Yeah.
Across the middle, Sigurdsson, Eriksen, Sanchez, Sterling.
Yeah.
That front, Costa, Kane, Aguero. That'd be a good team.
It is. There's a couple of errors in there. One, Carl Bartley is fucking horrendous. And I know Swansea obviously perform quite well. And I'm guessing he's just gone for the cheapest Swansea defender.
Yeah.
Because he wants a Swansea back four member. Yeah. But he plays mainly through injury. I think Jordi Amat normally plays ahead of him.
Yeah, well, in fact, he's not played all season, but he's played the last five games.
Yeah. Oh, well, in which case, he must have taken Amat's place then. Well, maybe that's a quite shrewd move from Tom then.
Yeah.
The other one I would say there, who's just wasting a shirt, is Raheem Sterling.
Oh,
if you look at Raheem Sterling, if you get his stats up now of what he's scored in the last 6 weeks.
He's got 2-4-2-3-6-3.
It's not
he got
great.
An assist against Leicester, didn't
it's
he?
It's not great from a midfielder there, is it?
No. What's these games coming up? Because I was saying, if you had him before, you may as well stick with him because he had a... Because
the last month, they've had a really good... They had four easy games, didn't they? And they made a meal of all of them, basically.
Yeah.
And now their game's coming up. Man United, Arsenal, Burnley and Swansea.
Yeah. Well, the only easy game in there, technically, is Burnley.
Well, the only team... Well, I don't even know because that's sort of a local rivalry, isn't it? Well, not that local, actually.
No.
But
Burnley's the only easier game in there. Swansea's not an easy game at all.
No. I wouldn't fancy them at any of those,
no,
to be honest.
They could quite feasibly take 1 point from those four games if it went badly.
They're so inconsistent, though, because they could easily... If they won all four of them,
yeah,
you wouldn't be that surprised because Arsenal and Man United have both got bad defences. To be honest, Swansea's probably the hardest game out of all of them.
Yeah. Is it at the Liberty, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a tough game. But with Sterling, he could easily have... Sterling's still very expensive. He could easily have Hazard in there as well.
He could have Hazard
in there instead.
Yeah, I think
quite comfortably.
Time. Yeah, I've been trying to support Sterling. But I think he's got to ditch Sterling and Aguero. Sanchez is still good for
him. Yes, I think Sanchez is still scoring goals. But he's done all right there.
Yeah, I've got the same thing as he's got, where you've got Eriksen and Kane.
Yeah.
Because I think Eriksen's a good player.
Yeah.
And Kane, obviously, they've given him his chance now. It looks good. But it's still such a risk because Tottenham are so shit. It's having them both. Cool if they do well, but they're so inconsistent.
Well, I've had Eriksen for... I got him about 3 weeks before everyone else did, thankfully, which got me some points. I tossed up between him and Chadley, and Chadley started off on fire.
Yeah.
And Eriksen slowly started to score a bit more.
Yeah.
But I think Aguero, obviously, he'll have got rid of. Sterling is wasting points, but he's on the verge of having a really good run up the league, I think.
Yeah, yeah. It just depends, I guess. It's like you say, who do you get for... That's the big question of the week, isn't it? Who do you get for Aguero?
Yeah.
And who... Sterling... Well, if you ditch Aguero, get Bonnie or Carolyn.
Yeah.
And that would probably give you enough points for Hazard as well.
Yeah.
That's not a bad one. I don't know what Chelsea's running over the next few games is. I was trying to think. Hull, Stoke, West Ham, Southampton?
Yeah.
Spurs? Oh, they're going to win all those, aren't they, basically?
Well, the I tell you now, the Spurs game will be a rout because Spurs haven't turned up once when they should do or they need to.
Spurs, yeah. Oh, at, when is it? What day? 1st of January. Oh, I was going to say, if it's after a Champions League or UEFA Cup game, Spurs probably won't do that well. But it's even worse. It's the
Christmas fixture crunch.
Yeah. So Spurs will probably be well away by then, won't they?
And looking into game week 16 we're going to now, if you look at Tom's side as is then, I guess the big choice for everyone is captaincy choices. Who do you think he's going to go for? And people in general, really, I guess, is it going to be the Chelsea, Costa as captain?
Yeah, Chelsea have got Hull.
At home,
yeah. They're not real big scorers, though. Hazard's still a good one, isn't he?
I think Hazard. I've flicked across my team now, and Hazard as captain has tempted me a few times. And putting a midfielder as captain is always slightly risky, isn't it?
Yeah, because you get the occasional one where they get a hat trick. You know, the Tadic one the other week, or sometimes Clint Dempsey would be really good because they're going to go 1 week, they're going to go spastic and get 40 points.
Yeah,
but because it's like because you could if you left Fabregas as your captain. And just never moved it.
For an entire season.
He's pretty much going to get you 12 points every week.
Yeah.
More or less. So that's another, you know, by the end of the season, that's a lot of points. It's a consistent.
But then you know the game, for instance, the week Aguero scored 18, if you had him as captain, you ran up the table. Yeah. And ran right.
But the amount of weeks I've tried to be clever and pick Sterling and ended up getting double two points.
Yeah, I've done it.
Yeah, so that's the thing. I think, although maybe the stats won't hold this up, but I always see it that Fabregas is more consistent of him and Hazard.
Yeah.
But Hazard takes penalties as well, I think, still, doesn't he? So you're going to have the weeks where he's just going to get millions of points.
I guess there's logic to it. If there's a defender who, like back in the day when a defender, some of them would score, you know, Dennis Irwin would score you 8 goals a season. But if you put him as captain every single game, taking goals and clean sheets into account, consistently they probably would score
a
shitload of points, more than your average striker would by chopping and changing every week.
Yeah, like Baines.
Yeah.
Bigger one. Or also... although there's not too many consistent defences at the minute. But the occasional one where, like, Becky's put in the Man United goalkeeper.
Yes.
When they've got a sort of relatively easy game. Because even though the defence is bad, they're still probably not going to concede.
Yeah.
And then that's like 14 points just for nothing, really.
Yeah, for some sort of good performance because they get bonus save points.
Yeah.
But
who did you put as your captain?
At the moment, I've got Lukaku, Everton playing QPR at home.
Yeah.
It's tempting. Again, you don't know, though, do you, with strikers? Always just, but it'll be Lukaku or Hazard for me. And are there any games where you see as potential routes of the fixtures this week before we head off?
Routes, well...
In terms of point scoring, really, for fantasy football, can you see where to strengthen if people are wondering what subs to bring in?
Oh, well, one thing we might see, I don't know who you'd pick from it, because he's out, but Man City are away at Leicester, aren't they? And that could be the game where Pearson finally gets the chop, I think. Because I can see them getting smashed even without... And it makes it even worse because they haven't got Aguero.
Yeah.
So... Oh, who was it? Jovetic.
Yeah,
Jovetic. Who I had right at the start of the season.
Yeah.
Who'd come back in. Him and Dzeko are so inconsistent.
Yeah.
Like, they see, I'm sure, the minutes they play, they are consistent. But it's so random whether they play or not.
So you think the City game might be, without Aguero, they might be able to prove a point, points there, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Plus they're still chasing it, and Leicester have just totally lost the plot, haven't they?
We do a big scoring week. There's been a couple of low-scoring ones, hasn't there?
There has. Even Man United, Liverpool, although it's normally pretty dire games, to be fair. It's like two big clubs going head-to-head.
Yeah.
But that could still be quite high-scoring.
Yeah, and hopefully no red cards is what you're hoping for on that one, isn't it?
Although, can you see Liverpool... So Man United have got an awful defence.
Yeah.
Can you still see Liverpool scoring?
No, I can't see them scoring 2 goals. And that's the problem. I think they need to. I think in any game when Liverpool play, they need to score 2 goals generally to win it. And I can't see them scoring 2 goals. That's the problem.
No.
From anywhere on the pitch. So, yeah, you know, set pieces notwithstanding, it's kind of, I don't see it, to be honest. But yeah, do tweet us whatever you're going to be your team. If you do it tonight, great. If not, then Saturday before or after the deadline, tweet us a screenshot of your team and who you've gone with. Ash and I will do the same. Tom is drinking pina coladas somewhere, so I don't think in Skegness. He's not in Skegness.
He is.
Yeah, he is. But yeah, so do tweet us a picture of your team at the Gaffer Tapes, and we'll do the same. Hopefully it's a big scoring week. Hopefully Tom will get further up towards page one. Hopefully Ash won't drop down to page two. And hopefully I'll get my rightful place back amongst the top 20. And hopefully all of you score some points as well.
Big question. Before the end of the season,
yeah,
which page will I be on? Prediction?
I think you'll still be on page one. I think there's too much at stake.
Too much at stake.
That's it.
The pressure.
The pressure should. Maybe if should I get
just.
You.
Maybe if I just drop down a division.
I'll choke. So I think you'll probably overtake me, but we'll see.
Yeah.
And the big question is, can anyone catch Brian Coates at the top of the Gaffer Tapes League? So tweet us your teams at the Gaffer Tapes, and obviously any Gaffer Gambler tips we've got going on. Tweet us your bets, your teams, any questions you've got for the next podcast, and enjoy game week 16. And hopefully next time we'll be back with all of us. Fully manned up, and a few hopefully cheeky Christmas special features. But that's everything at the moment for the Gaffer Tapes. Thanks very much for listening, and goodbye.